know, the kind of the on purpose dresses mm-hmm. like a Midwesterner. Mm-hmm. Although she probably, you know. And they say the only thing that she can do to improve her, she should probably ditch the glasses, they all say.
No, I like it. It has, oh, here's a funny T-shirt. Sarah Palin, Babraham Lincoln.
Babraham Lincoln.
Oh, it's so funny.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Jay Won't Darts podcast, where I talk about stuff that interests me, and maybe you'll find interesting as well. This episode, I'm talking about animals and circuses. In particular, one elephant kept by the Lauritz Circus, which is travelling around New Zealand. This circus stopped by Invercargill, where I live, and I protested with an animal rights group, SAFE. SAFE stands for Save Animals from Exploitation. I have a few sound clips, as usual, to play throughout the episode. The elephant is called Jumbo, after the famous elephant like 100 years ago. I hate the name, and from now on I'll try and call her Mrs. Elephant. I just prefer it to bloody Jumbo. She's a very pretty animal, not some big fat slob. Jumbo was a famous elephant, probably the most famous of all time. He died when a train crashed into him, some bizarre accident. Jumbo's not a girl's name, Mrs. Elephant is. I decided to make this episode after seeing the circus had made a fake website, pretending to be written by the elephant, saying how nice all the circus people treat her, how she likes living with the circus, being made to live in a trailer, and getting taken all over New Zealand. I'll play a clip of that now.
Hi everyone, my name is Jumbo, and I am 36 years old. I came to New Zealand when I was 5 and have been looked after by my current keeper for 31 years. He saved me from certain death, as I had been thrown into a moat in Honolulu and left to die. I was an orphaned elephant and nobody cared for me. I have recently been adopted by new owners, when nobody else would have me and they care for me and look after me very well. It's good that have decided to support me as I have a big appetite and cost up to $200 a day for food, and consume 45 gallons of water. I earn my keep by traveling and bringing enjoyment to many people, and for that I have an appearance in the circus show for about 5 minutes a day. I used to perform, but now only have an appearance walk on roll. My new owners are happy just for people to see me, happy in my comfortable environment. When I take to the road, my new owners have made me a wonderful new home, full of luxuries, like air suspension, washdown facilities, and even a sprinkler system so that I can have a shower. They spent over $300,000 to create my best home ever. My meals are varied, but I do like good hay and cabbages, a good balance of roughage. I have a good appetite and can eat up to 30 cabbages a day. Nearly every week I travel to an exciting new environment with different views and different smells that my nose is very sensitive to. Even the ground smell different from town to town. Please email me if you need to know more and I will try to answer your questions. By the way, I'm an average size African elephant and weigh just about 4 tons. Retirement plan. At 35 years of age, there are many more years of life because I can live an expected life to around 60 years of age. My plans for retirement are the subject of much discussion, and the options are widely variable. So as I can't speak to you humans, you have to make the right decision for me. Let's look at the options. 1. I go back into the wild. I have never been in the wild, so it would be really scary for me to have to find food and meet with strange animals that I don't know or understand. I don't think I would be happy with this one. 2. My companion of 30 years is not likely to live as long as I will, so I need to find a new friend to look after me, should it be in New Zealand, or some other strange country and climate that I may not like. I think this would have to be very carefully thought about. The stress of moving from my companion and to another land could kill me. 3. I go to a zoo to live. I guess that it would give me someone to know and feed me every day. But I don't know how I will get on with other animals, especially ones from a different country to where I came from. I am an African elephant. 4. I am still young enough to conceive a baby elephant, and then I would have great fun looking after it. What do you think I should do? I must say, contrary to what some people say, my current owners really look after me well, and I am safe with the circus, certainly not exploited or ill-treated, have a nice home and great surroundings.
What a load of bullshit. If you see her, it's pretty obvious how upset she is. Mrs. Elephant, like most elephants kept by circuses, is known to sway. She rocks side to side. No elephant in the world has ever been seen swaying. It's what they do when they're incredibly bored. I have sound taken from a video of Mrs. Elephant swaying and people talking about it. I'll play that later. I heard about the circus coming to Invercargill about a week before it arrived, and when I heard about the elephant coming, I was pissed off. I hate the idea of animals forced to perform, especially when they have to live in a trailer and get moved all around New Zealand. When I was little, I always wished Invercargill would get a zoo, so I could go and see exotic animals every weekend. But now I've learned more about how animals are treated and thought about it, and I wish that zoos would just shut down outright. If you want to learn more about how zoos treat animals, watch the movie Earthlings. It's all about animal abuses. It has sections about zoos and circuses. It shows behind-the-scenes type footage, where the animals are beaten to make them perform, elephants being made to stand on top of each other and move about in set patterns. When they don't do what the trainers want, they get shocked with a prod. It's like a big taser stun gun. In the footage we see, the elephants scream out, and the trainers talk about being strong around the animals. There's subtitles to make it clear what the main trainer is saying. When they don't do what they are meant to, the trainers are told to really beat them, and they will scream. The main trainer says, when you hear that screaming, then you know you've got their attention a little bit. And also that they can't beat the animals on the road, only during the awful training away from the public. Main trainer guy also says something like, they're gonna do what I tell them, that's just the way it is. Other scenes to do with zoos and circuses and Earthlings show other animals like tigers getting hit. I don't get why the large animals that could easily kill people put up with it. Someone told me they are so beaten down that they just put up with it. They are so used to the misery that's their daily lives that they don't feel like they can do anything about it. Earthlings also shows what happens when circus animals snap and rampage around the circus. One video that's very moving to watch is of an elephant. One part is an elephant with people riding on some giant ornate saddle on its back. It starts knocking over ramps and ladders. People in the circus run for their lives from the seating. It could be the same footage. An elephant without anything on its back finds its way out of the circus tent and runs out onto the streets. On the way, some guy tries to shut a chain-link gate on the elephant. It just taps the gate the guy was holding shut, and he gets knocked backwards. When the elephant's on the street, it walks around upset and probably very scared. People are yelling and shouting at it, and the police are trying to kill it. They fire bullet after bullet. It doesn't look like anything really hurts it. It's just so big and strong that normal bullets that would easily kill people don't seem to hurt it very much. There are vigilantes shooting at it too, normal people who act like they are saving the world by killing this elephant that's escaped from its abuse. Some woman is screaming something like, "Die, you stupid animal," at it. It finally goes down. I don't know how long it took. The footage jumps a bit, I think. It stumbles down and crashes against a parked car, setting off car alarms. It kind of flails its head around a bit. You can see blood on its head, before it finally just lies outright. I would have thought that circuses would have to have a giant tranquilizer gun, able to take an elephant out very quickly from one single tranquilizer bullet. It just makes sense that they should prepare for the worst, as insurance. Instead, this elephant seems to just do whatever it wants. Being so panicked, it's just trying to get away from all its problems. Who knows how many people, with how many guns, shooting who knows how many bullets it took to finally kill it. It should have been tranquilized. If anything bad happens, the keepers should have been able to knock it out. It would just lie down and go to sleep for an hour or so. Then it could have been put back into the circus once it's calmed down, being realistic. I'd rather the animal was alive in the circus, with a chance of being set free again, than shot dead in the streets, with people yelling at it to just die already. I'll play a clip from one of my vegan friends, Lindsay.
Hi Jay. I would like to say, I am against any form of animal exploitation, and that includes circuses, where animals are used and degraded and forced to perform unnatural tricks. These animals are kept in captivity and can be traveling in very confined spaces for long periods. They live no semblance of a normal natural life, and I consider circuses very cruel. We do not need to use animals at all for entertainment. M.S. Lindsay Wilcox Wellington.
Thank you for that, Lindsay. I seem to remember another elephant dying in Invercargill. I can't find any news stories. I hate that not all news stories are easy to find online. It ate poisoned hay, the food had gotten wet and had bacteria or mould growing in it, and the elephant died. The way I remember it, the elephant was buried at the Gala Street Reserve, where the circuses go. It's a large, public, grassy area. The circus that brought this latest elephant here, Mrs. Elephant as I call her, remember, is Loritz Circus. Loritz is a fairly new circus. It was formed when a previous circus closed. The Loritz Circus people brought many of the things used by the prior circus, including the elephant keeper, Tony Ratcliffe, and Mrs. Elephant. She was to have been sent away to some sanctuary in Australia. The elephant keeper was going over with her for a few months to settle her in. He even admitted it would be better for her to be with other elephants. But obviously money talked and the bullshit walked right off to the bank as he joined the new circus with her. Technically, the new circus owns Mrs. Elephant. Tony Ratcliffe just works for them. But he's been with her for decades now, so they are pretty much tied together. I'll play a news story clip I read before I protested. I found out as much as I could about the circus before I went and protested. This is a very interesting clip. It talks with Ratcliffe about his life. He's a shady-sounding guy. Listen to all the ways the reporter makes fun of him. Some are pretty obvious and would have hurt his feelings if he read the published article.
The observation that pets often resemble their owners is perhaps an unkind way to begin a story about an elephant keeper. But for Tony Ratcliffe and his beloved African elephant Jumbo, inseparable for 30 years, the comparison seems unavoidable. Watching 62-year-old Ratcliffe, dressed in stubbies and a straining polo shirt, take his precious charge through her paces around a council domain, one can't help but be slightly awed by the display of bulk, the trumpeting bellow, the leathery, sun-ravaged hide. Jumbo is an impressive specimen as well. The sight of an 8-foot, 4-ton African elephant at Snell's Beach, on the outskirts of Warkworth, on a Tuesday afternoon is the sort of thing that draws a crowd. Passers-by gawp and grapple with their camera phones, as Ratcliffe leads the 35-year-old behemoth on a languid stroll around a small, roped-off enclosure, then back into her trailer. She has a bit of trouble negotiating the trailer entrance, prompting instruction from her keeper, "Get your leg up, J-U-M-B-O-O-O." Before she finally gets it right, Ratcliffe, the recently retired owner of Whirling Brothers, New Zealand's longest-running local circus, disappears into the nearby encampment of caravans. I find him sprawled on a bed in one of them, one leg hoisted high in the air. "The bloody thing's playing up again," he says. "It's swollen up like a football." He has an appointment with the doctor in a few hours. The leg has been a problem since he impaled it on a tent peg 3 years ago. We had a full house, bloody chock-a-block, at Ruakaka, of all places, and I was taking a chair to an old lady and whacked it and it went right to the bone. The show had to go on. By the time he got medical treatment, he was delirious, the leg poisoned. The dicky limb is just one of the setbacks which, combined with some soul-searching after the death of his stepbrother from a virus last year, has finally forced Ratcliffe to retire the circus he founded in 1977. He has indicated his intentions to do so in countless press articles in recent years, stories that document the steady decline of Whirling Brothers' fortunes, the death of a monkey from heat exhaustion, industrial disputes with performers, the introduction of welfare codes for circus animals, which led to the lions and monkeys being offloaded to wildlife parks, also covered. His joining the circus at 15, his acquisition of Jumbo from Honolulu Zoo in exchange for a shipment of the logs, his three previous marriages, his protracted battle with animal rights activists, his 2 years, 9 months in prison for manslaughter, for fatally injuring, with the tent peg, a gang-affiliated 32-year-old who had wanted to take his 13-year-old stepdaughter to the stock cars one day in Napier in 1973. What had been 30 years in the making came apart quickly enough. Ratcliffe sold off the big top, seating and vehicles. A family in Raglan bought much of the infrastructure, and plans to start its own circus, under a new name. The ragtag crew of performers attached to the circus in its twilight years drifted away with little fuss. All that was left was Jumbo. Which left Ratcliffe with a dilemma. As his longtime critic, SPCA chief executive Robin Kippenberger, put it, there isn't an old people's home for elephants in New Zealand, and you can't just let them off down the southern motorway. The organization, which opposes animals working in circuses, says Ratcliffe now owes Jumbo a comfortable retirement. Jumbo was a serious undertaking. She eats 5 bales of hay and at least $100 of vegetables a day. Ratcliffe's first strategy, asking $1 million for the beast, met little success. Then, in November, Ratcliffe announced in the NZ Herald that Jumbo was headed to an Australian zoo. He spoke prematurely. The zoo back off, Ratcliffe says, citing Jumbo's age, and the fact that after a lifetime as a performing animal she would be poorly socialized. They also wanted him to pay the freight costs. His reluctance to be separated from her further complicated things. They weren't keen on having me around, he explains.
I would have protested by myself about the elephant being kept the way she is. Trucked around the country in a metal box, really. Forced to perform, no other elephants around her, it must be very lonely. But I found out about SAFE, Save Animals from Exploitation, who are arranging nationwide protests, and I joined the Invercargill protest. Very cool, it was awesome to meet other people pissed off about circus animals. I would have just stood over the road from the circus by myself, maybe with a cardboard sign, chanting something like, "Don't be a smelly runt, set free Mrs. Elephant!" And don't be a Dumbo, set free Jumbo. Damn it, I said the crappy name they call her. I'd shown up before the SAFE people, wearing a t-shirt with Alex, the African grey parrot on it, the bird that could talk and describe objects in detail. So I guess I looked like an animal rights kind of dude. I walked through the circus tents and took some photos, including some of the elephant. I got found out by Ratcliffe, the old elephant keeper. He wandered over as I took a photo of the elephant. He said something like, "You animal rights!" I knew he was on to me. I muttered something like, "Not right now," or something, and he told me to get the hell out of there. He said if I showed up again, there'd be trouble. I was pretty freaked out. I was alone in the middle of the circus, just taking photos of the elephant. Lots of scary circus folk looking at me too, and I'd read before about how Ratcliffe killed a man with a tent peg. He was inside the elephant's pathetic area, a small fenced-off bit for her to walk around in, with an electric fence on the top. Around the fence is an electric wire to stop her from reaching over. It's bullshit. It makes me very sad just thinking about the electric wire. I saw Mrs. Elephant snaking her trunk about. It moved like a snake would. I didn't really know that they were that flexible. It looked like it could tie itself in a knot. She could reach out to where the wire was, but backed off before touching it. I just know she must have been shocked by it before. Elephants' trunks are so sensitive, so clever. They touch each other with their trunks often. They breathe through it, suck in water, blow it out. They use it like we use our hands. There she was, too afraid to go near people because she would get shocked. It was kind of weird how she came over to me too. She would go and walk nearer to anyone who was around the fence. I was the only person there at the time. She felt pretty big as she came over. I was a little scared. I just had time to take one photo before Hitler, Tony Ratcliffe, got rid of me. He told me if I showed up again, there'd be trouble. I waited over by the Queen's Park fountain for the rest of the safe people to show up. When everyone else arrived, I put on a blue safe vest and helped hold banners. We got quite a few cars to honk and support, and one or two abusive people. Nothing serious, just the usual idiots. Some old bastard came out and had a go at one of the safe members. He said something like, "Get out of here!" and "Get a real job!" Grandpa, I know it must be real hard living off our tax money and everything, but it's Saturday afternoon. Most people don't work Saturdays. Oh, but I do. I'd just finished work and was protesting in my own time. Crazy old bugger. I asked George and Sharon from Invercargill Safe to record something for me to use. I'm really pleased I got these clips.
Hi, I'm George. I'm from Invercargill. Been involved with Safe for a few years now. And I've always felt really bad about circuses, the ill treatment of animals as a kid. And as I've grown older, I sort of didn't really want my own kids going to it. I wasn't really sure why. And then one day I was in Christchurch, met up with Safe people and got involved with them. And with all the information they had on circuses, you soon realised why you didn't like it with the unethical treatment of them. So when the circus came to Invercargill, it was, not sure if you used the word liberating, to go down there and to finally, after all these years, do something about it. Although it wasn't much, we just stood there with our banners and posters. But it felt good to do it, and it's a shame more people don't stand up for what they believe in, for whatever they believe in, because I found it great that day. And admittedly, I don't think we actually done much, but we did find some new members for the group, which was always cool to meet new people and like-minded people. And I think a couple of people who did walk past who thought we were, you know, crap, we actually convinced one guy that we, you know, we weren't crap.
Hi, look, this is Sharon Kirsten here. I went along and protested against the cruelty to the elephant at the circus, and I, once again, like George, felt very liberated as well. I was actually going out there, and even though as such we couldn't free the elephant, it was actually public awareness, which was really important, and it was really good to get feedback from people around when I mentioned it. And they said, "Oh, look, that is awesome. Wish we could do that." I think that's the biggest thing that the problem that we have in a lot of societies is that we're not actually quite willing to go out on that limb and do that. But for me, standing there, and I dressed up as a clown, which was really kind of going out there for me as well, it was a neat feeling. And it's a bit like today when you're handing out flyers and stuff around pig awareness for the cruelty that they have to endure. You feel like you're getting out there and you might be reaching a small percentage of people that will start changing their minds. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a choice for everybody, like the circus, if you want to take your kids or not, or if you want to eat pork or not. But it's about if you've got the information to read it and really get into it, then would you make that same choice? I think that's really important. By educating yourself whether or not these choices are ideal, and from the education that I've looked at, to me it's not okay to have elephants or any animals in a circus. I feel very strongly against it, and I wouldn't even take my children to the circus.
Thank you both so very much for appearing on my podcast. The circus people took our photos. Some creepy looking gypsyish woman was hiding behind the circus vehicles taking photos, probably to stop us from getting entry to a circus performance and causing hell inside. We had some gruff-looking circus dudes staring at us too, like they wanted a fight, but the circus people left us alone. I asked all my friends to drive past and honk their car horns in solidarity. My friends Whittier and Allison showed up and honked for me, which is really cool. Here's another clip. This is from CTV, a local Christchurch TV channel, I think. It has an interview with Safe and the circus.
It's that time of year again, the circus has come to town. Lyrette's Circus is currently set up in Hagley Park, but not everyone is happy about it.
This is Jumbo. She's an African elephant. In fact, she's the only African elephant in Australasia. She's been working in circuses for 30 years now, but animal rights activists say it's time for her to be released from duty.
And she is the last remaining exotic animals in a circus in New Zealand. In the past, there were other animals in circuses in New Zealand, like chimpanzees, but these animals have either died or have been relocated to sanctuaries. And we want the same thing to happen for Jumbo.
According to Safe, the swaying movements seen in this footage indicate Jumbo's distress.
Elephants are very social animals, They live in very strong family groups, and especially female elephants, and they do a lot of touching each day. They really savor the contact with each other, and obviously she can't do any of it. She's often tethered by one of her legs, so on a metal chain in her trailer, so she leads a horrible life.
But a spokesperson for the circus, Paul Johnston, denies this.
I think he's making statements rather than observations. You know, they've come down and observed Jumbo for a couple of hours on the Saturday with the kids to demonstrate, and really it's not indicative of the life she leads. Each week is a change of environment, a change of scenery, a change of different scents, and probably a very interesting life. Really, to see her and make a comment like that is disappointing, because he knows the type of work we're doing to enhance her lifestyle.
He also says that protesting has turned to more than just harmless chanting.
It's disappointing that there was a lot of graffiti and paint put into petrol tanks, all sorts of things that... And slashing of circus equipment. Now, we believe that this has been brought on by the activities of SAFE that has brought this to, obviously, to attention through the media. And disappointing that this has resulted in the activity they've been undertaking, because it did heighten the awareness that Jumbo was in town. And they're refusing to admit that it was SAFE per people, associated people that, and I believe them. I actually believe that it probably wasn't SAFE people, but their activities have encouraged it.
SAFE denies any knowledge of the vandalism.
Well, I don't know whether it's true or not, but obviously nothing to do with SAFE. You know, we work within the law. We want to talk to people and to come up with good solutions. So vandalism doesn't do anything for anyone, and certainly doesn't help our cause, so we will be dead against it.
But while vandalism is annoying and illegal, the real issue here is the future of this gentle giant.
They have Jumbo there to make money. They have Jumbo to attract people to the circus, and so they can make more money. We are primarily, obviously, concerned with the welfare of Jumbo, so we wanted to sit down with them to discuss, okay, is there another option? And we see the best option is to find a sanctuary, and there are several sanctuaries in the United States, and they specialize in elephants that come out of zoos or circuses and are no longer wanted there. But the biggest obstacle at the moment is the circus, because the circus said, well, yes, you can go anywhere as far as they are concerned, but they want a lot of money for it, and they're requiring maybe up to $500,000 for the elephant, and clearly a sanctuary is never going to pay that. So the circus is putting its financial security before the well-being of Jumbo.
We actually invested $300,000 in building a brand new home that was really along the lines of what MAF advised, with internal sprinkling. There's a shade facility for her to rest under the shade, a facility to allow her to roam untethered, and really everything that we've done is to enhance her welfare.
For now, Jumbo will wait until a decision has been made.
I've heard the circus downplay SAFE a few times. They've said things like 48,000 people went to the circus in the South Island, and that there were just 48 protesters, which I don't believe for a second, and also that SAFE complains a lot, but haven't any real ideas about what to do for the elephant. Lorette Circus says that they've asked SAFE directly for what they want done, and that SAFE couldn't come up with a good home for Mrs. Elephant. But that's BS. In the clip I played before, SAFE mentioned the sanctuary that the circus itself knows about, as Mrs. Elephant was to be sent there, before the new Lorette Circus brought her from the circus that shut down. Lorette Circus knows a good place for her. The elephant keeper was really going to send her there, apparently. He was quoted in newspapers saying Mrs. Elephant would go there, but instead, she's stuck living in that crappy trailer, hauled around New Zealand. On the circus site, written from the elephant's point of view, someone pretending to be the elephant, it says that soon they will accept retirement donations for Mrs. Elephant. Can you believe that? They want people to give them money to send the elephant away, so she can finally be treated nicely. How do we know that they'll use the donations for sending her overseas? They don't have a target to reach or anything. It's just stealing money off people who want to feel like they've helped the poor animal. Safe mentioned that they keep the elephant to make money from people going to the circus to see her. Well, that's pretty accurate. Lorette's circus must be pretty shitty without Mrs. Elephant there. Their whole setup, they have a big tent, some little inflatable tents in front of that, one has a dwarf horse in it that you have to pay $2 to see the horse, and I think there's a spelling mistake that we noticed to do with the dwarf horse sign. Then there's a couple llamas hidden out the back, and Mrs. Elephant with her fenced off bit and trailer. The features in this whole circus are some African performers, they do sound interesting, they do all the usual circus stuff, and a little girl who spins hula hoops around herself. I mean, good for her, she can do that better than I can, but I'm not going to a circus to see a little girl spin some hoops around her. The little girl did get a high placing on a New Zealand talent show, but it's still not enough to keep me interested for more than a few seconds. Apparently, Mrs. Elephant doesn't perform anymore. God only knows what they mean by the word perform, but she still gets trotted out into the tent for about 5 minutes each show. It seems like she walks around the ring and then back out. Wow, that's worth all the hours in the trailer and travelling from city to city. Without the elephant, llamas and dwarf horse, there's just a girl who spins hoops around herself and some African performers. Sounds pretty lame to me. So, I don't really expect the elephant to be sold anytime soon, unless maybe the other star attraction, Hula Hoop Girl, also learns to juggle and ride a unicycle in clown costume. They'd need something else to fill in time. My friend Elizabeth, from NZ Vegan Podcast, was kind enough to provide another clip for my show. She also sent in a recording for my vegetarian/vegan episode that I hope you'll listen to.
Hi there, this is Elizabeth from New Zealand Vegan, and I want to just help Jordan talk about the circus elephant in New Zealand. They've put up a website which Jordan had discovered. Well, I'm sure he's talking about it. I just want to say that, you know, this is a very common thing that happens, and this is why we need to educate everybody that we can in our own lives, so that when they are confronted with these kinds of things, such as this website about the elephant saying that everything's so wonderful for her, they can use their own judgment and common sense, and they can see it for what it really is. People aren't going to see it for what it really is until they've been presented with the concept of why animal exploitation is wrong on every level, and they can see the truth behind what's really going on. And that's what we need. We need discerning readers. We need discerning thinkers. As Gary Francione says, we need critical thinking. So what I would do is this is very common. I mean, from birth, children are taught that it's fine to exploit animals. So we just need to educate people that for the reasons why it's wrong. We need to educate people on the basic fundamentals of why it's wrong. And then therefore, when those people are confronted with these kinds of websites, they won't believe it. They'll see it for what it really is. There is no defense. There is no justification for animal exploitation. The facts are obvious with regard to the circus elephant, what the life is like, how unnatural and cruel it is. If anybody knows anything about elephants, if you've ever watched a show on elephants, a natural life of an elephant, and then you try to put yourself in that place of this elephant that's caged for most of your life and doesn't have other elephants to be with, they're incredibly social creatures. So I think that anybody who has allowed themselves to be quote-unquote educated about the truth will not be affected by this propaganda. They'll see it for what it really is. But until we start educating people more, people aren't going to see it for what it really is. So that's what we need to get out there and do it. So good on you, Jordan, for doing this. And onwards and upwards. Ciao.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I also have a clip from Colin Skye, the leader of the Vegans Yahoo chat group, that provides a way for New Zealand vegans to stay in touch. We send emails to each other every day.
If we cut down meat by just 20%, so many farms would be able to return to wild lands and be used by the homeless living in poverty. Zoos could be established on large farms that soon would become overgrown, and special creatures like Jumbo could graze all day in small groups. I particularly would like to see all the vegetarian animals released. Thank you, Jordan. This is from Colin Skye, interested in the global aspect of veganism. Cheers.
You can see photos from the Invercargill Safe protests. We protested 2 Saturdays in a row on my Bebo site. I've made a tiny URL page for the link, so you don't have to type such a long URL. You can just go to www.tinyurl.com/jumboprotest, no spaces of course, tinyurl.com/jumboprotest. Easy to remember or write down. Please make sure you look at my photos. I have one of Mrs. Elephant herself. In the bottom right corner you can see the angry elephant keeper, just out of frame, asking me if I were with animal rights, and then telling me to get the hell out of there, or there'd be trouble. I would have taken lots more photos if I could. I found a few news stories about the Lauritz Circus getting in trouble while performing. At many locations, safe protesters have held up banners, chanted, and handed out pamphlets to anyone interested in seeing how circus animals are treated. These protests were mentioned in many local newspapers. In Dargaville, the circus left a local park muddy and with holes. These had to be fixed before sports could be played. The local council was charging this cost to the circus, and they lost their bond money. In Nelson, the council admitted they had made a mistake allowing an elephant to be kept on public land, and that it wouldn't be allowed to happen again. In Dunedin, the circus was not allowed to have Mrs. Elephant on council land. It has a policy against exotic animals being made to perform on its property. The circus had set up, and Mrs. Elephant was to be moved from Dunedin City Council land. She was kept over at a pub near the circus, can you believe it? On land near the Kensington Pub car park, until the council found out about this and had her moved again. The circus pulled strings, and eventually had poor Mrs. Elephant kept on the pub's car park itself, which is privately owned by the pub. In this pub's car park, this video was shot. You can watch it on YouTube. I have the URL in the show notes, or search Jumbo Swain on YouTube. You can't see the video, obviously, but Jumbo is wobbling or swaying side to side inside the trailer that the circus proudly shows off. It costs $300,000, you know. Inside, Mrs. Elephant is chained by one of her front legs. It looks like one of those plastic-covered bike lock chains. It looks like it would be very sore on her leg. A power tool starts up somewhere closely, and we can see Jumbo try and look out to see where the scary noise is coming from. She can barely see out of the trailer. The chain around her leg is too short to let her move around very much at all. It's probably a metre-long chain of that. She can just rest her head against the opening and move her trunk outside. She looks miserable.
She can't come out because she's shackled inside. It's all right, Jumbo. Sorry, girl. This is Jumbo at the Kensington car park. It's a pub car park. The circus have shackled her inside. As you can see, she's exhibiting behaviour that probably indicates if she knew how, she'd probably cut herself.
Okay. girl. Poor girl. We're working to free you, darling. As you can see, the chains are rubbing on this gun.
The trailer the elephant is kept in is estimated by SAFE to have about 3 metres by 5 metres of space for poor Mrs. Elephant. Considering she is about 2 metres high alone, a lot longer than that, and weighs about 4 tonnes, it's a tiny amount of space. Thank you to all the people who submitted audio clips of themselves. Thank you as well to those who emailed in what they wanted my artificial voice to read out. With public pressure on circuses, we can make Mrs. Elephant's life better, and hopefully, someday soon, she'll be allowed to go to the Australian sanctuary and live out her life, meet other actual elephants, and maybe even have a family. Thank you for listening to my podcast episode about the sad life of Jumbo the Elephant. I hope you look at the photos I took of the first Invercargill SAFE protest that I participated in. If you go to www.tinyurl.com/jumboprotest, no spaces, you'll find yourself at my Bebo page with some of the photos. If you want to contact me, even just to say you listened, send an email to jwontdart@gmail.com, jwontdart@gmail.com. I'd appreciate it. Have a super happy day. Bye.
While you're over there in the Netherlands, you might want to talk to your hosts about this. I had not heard of this until I read it in Der Spiegel magazine. Apparently, they're using they call it the mosquito, but it's a teen repellent system throughout the Netherlands. In Rotterdam, out Charleroi.
Did you say teen?
Yes, teen, as in teenagers. A teen repellent. What it is, it's a device that you can... So wherever kids are loitering, and apparently... So this is now in use in Rotterdam, or a suburb of Rotterdam. You hang this device up, and it emits an extremely annoying sound, but at a frequency that apparently can only be heard by people under the age of 25. So that's got to be...
Oh, that's the sound. Yeah, right. They can hear stuff that that adults can't hear. But there's devices being used in Holland?
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
And
he says, yeah, he's heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is like super Gitmo Nation stuff, man. You get like a...
So they
like
hang
a,
some...
Like
some,
a ray, a beam. Like a...
Yeah. And it drives the kids away.
Yeah, and it gives the kids headaches, and they're like, "Oh man, I don't want to be near that thing." And so, of course, what they're doing is they're hanging these things outside of places where they don't want kids loitering. So, what do the kids do? Is they go inside the establishment to loiter on the inside. So it's totally backfiring. But this is obviously raising, human rights issues because it's an outrage. You're hanging up shit to repel people. That's not right.
Teen repellent.
You got to go and find this, man.
You're getting me thinking this is not a bad idea.
Get off my lawn, kids, or I'll turn on the mosquito.
I drive around with my daughter, who's 14, and I get some new brakes on the car, and apparently to her they squeak.
And you can't hear them, right?
I can't hear them. And I mean, you can get them to squeak by doing certain things, but she's claiming that whenever I touch the brake pedal, it's just this gosh awful sound of screeching brakes.
You see,
so I don't know.
Well, I like this whole technology because if there's one thing that's amazing, it's the fact that there's a device that makes teenagers listen to anything. So why can't I get a hold of one of these devices and send out messages like, clean up your room. Take out the trash, do the laundry,